Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
So today, we would just a very short recap from your understanding of purpose, who your understanding of purpose. I need one person to just tell us what we talked about. What is your understanding of purpose? Anybody? From the teaching that we had on Sunday, anybody? Anybody? Any volunteer? Just one person. Anybody? Okay. I have one hand. Okay, thank you, Bodunde. Can you help me with the mic, please? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, purpose is God's design.
Yeah.
For individuals that brings Him glory.
Yeah.
Blesses others and benefits you.
Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. That's beautiful. And we talked about two aspects of purpose on Sunday. Who can remind us of what we said? What are the two aspects of purpose? Anybody? Yes, Dorcas, please. Just give me. Thank you. Okay, you can help. So what are the two aspects of purpose? Yeah.
So there's the overarching plan of God, and then there's the specific.
Specific, okay. Yeah. And what is the overarching plan?
So the overarching plan is the general plan that God has for everyone.
Okay.
And Christ is the center of that plan.
Okay. Okay. And then the second is the specific.
The specific is what you're supposed to be doing as a person per time.
Okay, great. So from what, let's put our hands together for her. So from what we talked about, what we talked about on Sunday, we said the overarching plan of God's purpose for your life is conformity to Christ. We made that very clear, right? So it is conformity to Christ. Then the specific is, a design, is a special assignment. You know, you are a special agent. You are, God is intentional about the specific work He wants you to accomplish here on the earth. Amen. So that in itself must be paid attention to as much as conformity to Christ. All right. So we also talked about purpose being a concept that is not invented. You don't invent purpose. You discover purpose, right? Purpose is revealed. We said that on Sunday. Amen. All right. So we said there are three things that must qualify for purpose to be purpose. What is it? Who remembers? There are three things that must qualify for it to be purpose. It must glorify God, number two. It must impact people, and number three. And now please help my volume, please. It must benefit me. So these are the three things that must qualify purpose. So today we're going to talk about something very critical, because we are on the journey to giving some sense of redirection. I feel in my spirit for everybody who is listening here, we are all in a transition period, and what God wants to do in your life, this moment is critical for it. And I want you to pay attention to it. Amen. For some of you, For some of you, what you're doing, your attention on this conversation will direct the next 10, 20 years of your life. Amen. So I want you to give it your all. Give it your whole attention. Give it your whole attention. Praise God. So, how do we find purpose? That's what we're going to talk about today. Finding purpose, number one, there are eight things I'm going to list out to you today, how you find purpose. And for you, it might not be all of the eight. For you, for some of you, it might be two, it might be three, it might be one, as the case may be, okay? Number one is the gospel. Number one is the gospel. That's how you find purpose. Now, we established on Sunday that a major aspect of your purpose is conformity to Christ. All right? So that when you are being transformed into the likeness of Christ, you are actually walking in purpose. Now, this is minus the specific assignment that he has called you to do. It is totally separate from it. So, your Christ likeness is your walking in purpose. I was speaking to Pastor Ike, I think it was on Monday, and I said to him that a whole lot of us are going to be rewarded in the area of your purpose just by your conformity, not by your work. Just for the sake of your conformity to Christ, not even because of your work. I'll give you an example. Someone who has become Christ-like all through his lifetime, but was never effective, never went out there, never did anything specific per se. But just that conformity to Christ, there's a reward for that. Because the Bible speaks of crowns that would talk about the coming of Jesus. And you know, scripture says that he who has this hope in himself purifies himself. So you're purifying yourself. There is a crown given to those who have the hope of his return. And there is the effect his return has on you, which is the purifying of yourself. So your conformity to Christ has a whole lot to do with your walking in purpose. Amen. So say with me, say, my conformity to Christ has a whole lot to do with my walking in purpose. So why do I say the gospel? Because it is only the gospel that brings the Christ in you. It is only the gospel that brings the Christ in you. When you have a reflection of what Christ has done, there is a steady, progressive transformation of your person to becoming more like him. Amen, somebody. Now, let's look at the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, or the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from what? From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are being transformed from glory to glory into the same image. What is that image? Or who is that image? That image is Christ. So you are being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. So this is part of your purpose. Do we understand what I'm saying? And it is the gospel, it is the revelation of the gospel, a deeper sense of the gospel. That's why we don't play with the gospel in this house. Hearing the gospel is part of the fulfilling of your purpose. Can I say that again? Hearing the gospel is part and parcel of the fulfilling of your purpose. Because the more you hear, the more you are transformed. All right? Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. You see Paul's prayer for the people whom he converted, who he led to Christ. It says, my little children, of whom I travail or labor in birth again, until Christ is what? Formed in you. So you see, when Christ is formed in you, it has everything to do with God's design. That is God's plan for your life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. We looked at this scripture on Sunday. We're going to look at it again. For whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, remember in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we saw that you were transformed into what? The same image. Do you remember? You're transformed into the same image. Now we're seeing, scripture is interpreting scripture. We're seeing now in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, foreknowledge of God, he also predestined to be conformed to the image. Are you seeing this now? Of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So your conformity to the son is purpose. Okay, so before we talk about purpose, before your mind travels very far into your assignment, your work, understand that Christ's conformity is purpose. Are you following what I'm saying? Have we established that fact? So how do you find purpose? Number one, you find it in the place of the gospel. Number two, you find purpose in the place of prayer. You find purpose in the place of prayer. How many of you have spent time to pray within the last few days as I gave you the instruction to do? All right, so we've been praying from Sunday up until now. And it's in the place of prayer many things are revealed to you. Many things are going to be revealed in the place of prayer. I'm going to show you examples of people who prayed and found what God wanted them to do. Right? So let's see Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Pastor Chibuzo read the scripture while we're praying. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it," that's the gospel now, "do not cease to pray," or heard of your faith, "do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So prayer is important for the revelation of what God wants me to do. Now this cuts across the overarching plan, which is the general purpose, and the specific plan. All right, the specific plan. By the grace of God, on Sunday, I would list out 5 areas of your life that you must have clear purpose for. 5 areas. We prayed about this during the workers' meeting, or we talked about this during the workers' meeting on Sunday morning. But 5 major areas that you must have clarity, because the problem with greatness is greatness has a way of leading people in a blind focus, that you don't consider other aspects of your life. So you see a lot of people who are extremely wealthy, extremely great, but don't have a family because the attention and the passion required to sustain what they do has consumed that consideration for family and the things that are important. Or someone who is wealthy, who is doing well, has a great name, has a great business, has a great stuff going on for him, but doesn't consider God. And the spirit of mammon has come upon you. So it is important that there must be clarity in 5 major areas which we're going to talk about. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is critical to know that the knowledge of his will is found in the place of prayer. Another scripture we read on Sunday, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. This is what God said concerning Jeremiah. He says, "Now these are the words of the letter that," no, verse 11, not verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." What are they? "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope." Say with me, say a future and a hope. Can we use the amplified version? Let's see what it says. The amplified version. All right, it says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." Hope in your final outcome. Let's see the NLT version. Okay, it still says future and hope. Which one says expected end? Is that the KJV? Okay, that's the KJV. KJV says expected. It says, "and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." I want you to know that as God is thinking great things for you, Satan is also thinking for you. Satan is also thinking great things. But what God thinks supersedes what Satan thinks. Amen. Amen. So it says, "For I know the thoughts that they are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give me an expected end." Praise God, somebody. Now, next verse, verse 12. "Then shall be," having known that there is an expected end, what is the next step? "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me." Are you seeing this now? "You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." You know, it was in the place of prayer and search that Isaac knew he was not supposed to leave. where God said, stay in this very land. You see, when God has called you to a sector or any sphere of influence, the place of prayer is very key for you. Prayer is not just for church. I hope you know. Prayer is for everything that you do. Prayer is for your investment. Prayer is for your family. Prayer is for your money. Prayer is for your assignment. Prayer is for your careers, for your vocation. So in the place of prayer, you get clarity. God told Isaac, he says, stay in this same land. Everybody's leaving, but you stay. He found that thing in the place of prayer. Somebody say amen. So it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I mean, if God has an expected end that he has set towards you, why does he need you to pray? He needs you to pray because you need to know what he knows. You need to be in unity and conformity to what he knows. And we talked about two things that prayer is going to do for you when you are praying in regards to your purpose. Do you remember the two things that we said? We said, number one, it will align, it will deal inside and outside. Do you remember? So we said prayer will align external circumstances. It would align your external factors to be conformed so that purpose is easy to fulfill. And secondly, when you take time to pray, it will align your will, that your will is in sync with God's will. Praise God. So that's what prayer does. Prayer does that. It's like a two-edged sword that deals with the outside, deals with the inside. Do you understand that? Amen. So it's very important. You are malleable in the hand of God when you are a praying person. It's easy for God to do what he wants to do quickly. You are in quick agreement. You don't need experiences to teach you. When the Bible says, do not be like the horse or the mule, one of the things that the horse is known for is the way it's directed. The horse is directed through pain because you have to put the bits on the horse's mouth, and the direction, the way you direct the horse is with pain, because it's the pain the horse feels while you're turning. That's what gives him direction. Are you getting it? Because you need to channel the strength of the horse, but the strength of the horse must be channeled with pain. So it is going in that direction based on that influence. And God is saying, don't be like that. You don't need pain to show you his will. You don't need pain to know his will for your life. You can hear a word behind you saying, this is the way to go. And that's good enough for you to go. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's in the place of prayer. The more you spend time to pray, the more your heart is in agreement with what he's telling you. Because if you leave the direction of God to your logic will defy many things God is saying do. There are times where God will say do something, it will not make sense. Because your head and your experience and your education says no. But the Spirit of God is saying yes. And at that point, what makes you eventually go in the direction of yes? It's when you are conformed to his will. You are malleable. Your spirit is in agreement with his will. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God wants you to be malleable in his hands. And that comes in the place of prayer. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Okay, next verse. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So prayer is very important. It was in the place of prayer that I knew, my sister and I were, she was, I think, just preparing for her wedding. It was 2011 or 2010. I was somewhere in Lagos. We were climbing towards that Maryland bridge or something. And I've been praying about what God wanted me to do the next season for my life. And immediately I saw a congregation before me, because if you think about it very well, my dad is a pastor, so the next option might be go serve with your father. That was the next option. I didn't think I was going to pastor by pioneering or pastoring. I thought I probably would be assigned somewhere. So I saw a congregation before me, and I knew this was not Calvary Life Kano. So I started to pray. That's why I thought it was Lagos. So it was in the place of prayer this revelation came. It was in the place of prayer the name Standpoint came in my spirit. It was in the place of prayer. It was clear that Abuja was the place, not Lagos. It was in the place of prayer. I was in the Archbishop Benson Dowser's house. I was staying in my apartment there. And I was praying overnight because I had just a few days left to make a decision. Do I go to Lagos or do I go to Abuja? So in the place of prayer, God gave me clarity on where to go in the place of prayer. And then the Spirit of God began to minister to me. He said, in fact, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I need you to give me direction on this matter. He said, call me back the next day. And the next day when I called him, he said, go to Abuja. Abuja is clear for you. And in the place of prayer, I knew that Lagos was not the place. I was prepared to go to Lagos. My assistant pastor had left Kano, moved his wife, his children, got a transfer, got a job to Lagos. I had gathered a network of people whom I was pastor over in school. And we had arranged a network in Lagos, about 30 people waiting for me to come and start in 2013. And the Holy Spirit said, no, turn. And the moment I turned, in my spirit, I knew this was the place. I came to Abuja without preparation, but with the voice of God. Because your spirit must be malleable. When God is telling you this is how he wants you to go, the books may disagree. Your money may disagree. What you have in your bank account at that time is disagreeing with the decision. But because God has said yes, praise God, somebody. So you know it's time for you to run. So in the place of prayer, that's why you cannot, you know, Jesus couldn't do without prayer when he set out to do what God had called him to do. It's not possible. Look, whatever sector you're going to find yourself in, business and industry, politics and governance, media and entertainment, family, whatever it is, you must give time in prayer for clarity. You must. Praise God. You must. So, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see what it says. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's read this one together. Are you there? All right. One to go. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Now, I just want to pick this part to explain something. Of course, there's a context to which this means. But I want to extrapolate a meaning from this. Since I will stand upon my watch, set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. This is important because before you have clarity of direction, you must hear what he has to say. But if you see, Habakkuk is not just talking about hearing what he has to say. He's saying seeing what he is saying. Because when God talks to you, he will give it to you in picture forms. God talks to you in pictures. Now, are there people here who have been seen pictures in the place of prayer? Oh, I don't know if I have a witness here. Are there people here? Okay, I'm not just trying to get your attention. I mean, I really want to talk to you because this is how things work. Are there people who really have been seen pictures in the place of prayer? Okay, great. Now, one of the ways God talks to you is by painting certain pictures to you. For some of you, you would see yourself flying to places. For some of you, you will see yourself in conversations. For some of you, you will see yourself doing certain things. Those pictures are revelations of a reality that already is. Okay? They are not merely your imaginations. They are actually reality of what God is showing you exist already. Faith called those things that be not as though they were. They are realities. They are not. Now, whenever you are imagining things, your imaginations are not just functions of your imaginations. Okay, can I put it this way? That you can imagine it means it's possible. You know, one of the things that God said to me one day, he says, if you can think about it, it shows that I put that desire in your spirit. That's why the Bible also says God is able to give you everything. No, it says to him who is exceedingly above all that you ask or imagine. Ask or imagine. You know, many times you ask what you are sure of. Then what you are not sure of, you just leave it to imagination. Because you don't bother asking, knowing that it's on the level of imagination. Are there some of us who think that, how do I put it now? You feel God would ask you what you know he can do. But you are not sure he can do what you imagine. Because what you imagine may be too grand for what you think God can do. But he says, no, he's able to do what you ask or imagine. And know this, that the moment you imagine it, it is possible. Because if it does not exist, it cannot enter your imagination. It's not possible. So, once that imagination begins to sit in your spirit, I'm not talking about vain imaginations. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not talking about vain. Somebody say vain. Mm-hmm. For example, now, somebody's imagining, I'm going to be the president of Nigeria now. God is able to do. You will wait. For your whole lifetime, you may not be. God is able to do. There is already a president. There can only be one president in the country. It's not your... So we're not talking about vain imaginations. I'm talking about spirit-inspired imaginations. That the Holy Spirit begins to put pictures in your heart. Your spirit will tell you, this is God. Let me give you some indications. This is just by the way. Indications to know God is talking to you. Use righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, joy. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So use those three indications. Let's start with righteousness. Righteousness is a feeling. You just know this is the right thing to do. I feel right about this. You know when the disciples said to Paul, when Paul came to speak about the gospel to James, to Peter, and to the other apostles, the Bible says that it seemed good to us. They said it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. You don't understand what I just said. Let's say Will is Paul. Will is preaching what we call the gospel. But so that he doesn't run in vain, he comes to report his message to the court of elders, who are the other apostles before him. You know, Paul the apostle became an apostle much later. So he comes to report his message to John, to James, who was the overall overseer, Peter and the rest of the other apostles. And when they saw his message, they listened to his message, they saw that his message tallies with their message. So their response to Paul when he came was that it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't tell them, but they just felt it was right. So that's why the apostle said, it seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing that you're going to do is make sure you take care of the widows, you feed the poor. But you see this message you are preaching? Keep on preaching this message. Are you still here? So there are some times the Holy Spirit will not tell you expressly and you feel wind in your head. Because many of you are waiting for that. You are waiting for a sign from heaven. Sometimes you just feel it is right. It's just right for me to do this now. I just feel this thing is the right thing to do right now. Righteousness. Peace. It's an indication in your spirit. The indication of peace is a heavenly emotion that guides your path. The Bible speaks of this in Philippians. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will garrison your heart. Now, when the peace garrisons your heart, the peace directs your heart so that you can be in the most chaotic situation, but you just know it is peace I feel about this. Then another indication is joy. It's a good indication. Joy. This is from my experience. I'm just sharing with you. Joy. You feel joy in your spirit about this matter. You feel joy in your spirit. When men will say there is a casting down, we say there's a lifting up. I feel restful about this. Praise God. So these are indications. And in the place of prayer, pictures are going to come to you. That's why I want you all to take time to pray. Listen, we're mostly young people here. Mostly. In the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The young men will what? See visions. And the old ones will what? Dream dreams. Listen, we're mostly young people here. God is going to place, and this is not the exclusive reserve of certain people, those who are pastors. He's saying, the last days I will pour my spirit upon what? All flesh. He doesn't even discriminate to house boy and house girl. He says, your maid servants, they will receive this fullness of the spirit. So spend time to pray, because the next 10 years of your life is critical. The next 20 years of your life is critical. The next 15 years of your life is critical. For some of you, you know, you will see pictures of God going ahead of you. This is in visions. And when the real incident is playing out, it will be like deja vu. Because you've seen it before. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've seen this thing play out in your spirit before. Certain things will not surprise you. Am I talking to people here? When they begin to happen and play out, certain things will not be a shock to you. But you begin to see God walking through you, God doing his work in you. For God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. But in the place of prayer, Lord, show me your design for my life. You know, purpose breeds passion, it breeds clarity, it breeds integrity, it breeds direction. Purpose. When you are a man of purpose, you are passionate. It directs your passion. I will show you on Sunday how that vision is a container. It's a restrainer. The Bible says without vision, the people cast off restraint. Are you still here? So it's important that you find out in the place of prayer. Can you help me touch your neighbor? Say, your life is useful to God. Now, it will be my great desire. TSP, are you listening to me? Yes. It will be, now, see, if everybody in this room is excelling in the place of his purpose, using these three concepts and vehicle that I've shown you, which is you're finding your purpose, having a good strategy and vision to actualizing your purpose, and understanding economy, you're going to live above the system. Did you hear what I just said? You will live above the system. What is the system? The system is designed for equilibrium. The system. When I mean the system, let's take the governmental system, for example. Is designed to keep an equilibrium. Okay? Employment, recruiting, it gives stability, appropriation of certain portions of the national cake, as the case may be. There's an equilibrium. But the moment you are able to bring out the core through God's economy of who you are, and you are smart about economy, you will beat any system of the world. Pastor Ike is catching what I just said. Now, you travel abroad. There's no amount of work you work that you can beat the system. The system has put you under a caste. You'll be comfortable, but I'm talking to people who just don't want to be comfortable, who are called to be great. So, you'll be comfortable. You're not going to suffer. In Nigeria, God help you, you get a great job paying you $700,000 per month, $1 million per month. Somebody's saying, Pastor, make I get that one first. before I find purpose. Give me that one. That will solve the purpose. It is close to purpose. Listen to me. See, God did not call you to survive. With what he put inside you, survival is not the conversation. I'm telling you. That's why I said education is a response to the fall. Because you cannot remember who you are. It's only in Christ you know who you are. So anybody, think about it. Anybody who brings out a core of an ability or grace, that is the person who is above systems. Those are the people who live large. Think about it. Can you sing? If you can do it well and you have understanding of economy, you'll be better than your teacher. Can you talk? Can you write? Can you play football? How much is Ronaldo getting per week? Let's even leave Ronaldo. Let's leave Ronaldo. Ronaldo is high up there. The average Aston Villa player. Do you understand what I'm saying? But they are making use of their gift. There's someone who, I think my sister was telling me about, is it you? No, someone was telling me about a guy who is friends with, no, who is brother to a footballer. He said the brother was living on benefits. The brother was living on his brother's benefits. Not income, or just the benefits. If you can pull out the core, that is the inside of who you are. Do you understand? You are called to be something. You are graced to be something. You are gifted to be something. You can pull that thing out. You have a strategic plan, vision, and you understand economy, the economy of God that works through the processing of what he has given you. You cannot be poor. So a lot of people are usually stuck within, you know, number two and number three. People find purpose but don't understand vision and don't understand economy. So that's where they are stuck. So there are a lot of people in church who, Haya Bakaye, God has called you to rest and result. You know what rest gives you? Rest is a function of the gospel. But righteousness mentality is the function of dominion. Because rest is what, I don't know if you are catching what I'm saying. Are you catching my drift? Rest is what is produced by your understanding of grace. But this understanding is how God has dealt with you, grace. Now, having known how God has dealt with you, you need to know how to deal with life. That is where dominion comes in. Because it is grace for dominion. Is that not TSP? We must have dominion now. So you see someone who is grounded in the gospel. He knows the word. But there is no dominion. The dominion factor is missing. The result factor is missing. The reigning in life through righteousness is not there. But they are sound when it comes to the gospel. Then you see another person who does not know the gospel but is excelling in dominion. The only problem is that person is always going to be anxious. But if his result, he has results. But God has called you to have the two. Rest and result. Somebody say with me, say rest and result. See, nobody in TSP will be a mediocre. But if you catch the spirit of this teaching, it will go beyond just what Pastor Phil is saying. It will translate you into a level of work and a level of understanding that you just know what you ought to do now. If you understand the spirit of this teaching, rest and result. So in the place of prayer, God is going to be showing you pictures. Hallelujah. You know, I told you some Sundays ago, I said in the making of speed, there are processes that go ahead of speed. Yeah. Do you remember what I said? Yes. In the making of the helmet, it's a process that goes. Is helmet is for speed, but you don't use speed to make helmet. Helmet is for, is the objective of helmet is carefulness, is safety. Those are the things. So prayer is one of those processes ahead of the progress. Prayer. Because you don't do juju. So what you do, you must do it well. If you do juju, if you cut soap, do you understand? If you cut soap, I can understand. But since you not do juju, and the funny thing is that in the place of this prayer and grace that we have received from the Lord, it is better than any juju can give you. Juju is with price, so. Juju is with price. It comes with price. God forbid a bad thing. A man was telling me that some people called him, a babalawo called him, he said, I know your way, but these are the things you have to do. The man, he said, he responded to the babalawo, he said, if God cannot give me this thing that you want to give me, then I shouldn't have it. That's what he said, and he walked away. The Bible calls Jesus the head of all spirits. Witches, wizards, babalawo, they are all under his order. Because he's the head of all spirits. He's the head of all principality. Not only good principality, including the bad ones. That's why when God called for his son, Satan also came. He's the head of all principalities. Amen. So I will stand upon my watch to set my rampart and set myself on the rampart and watch to see. Watch to see what he's saying. So as he's talking to you, you'll be seeing pictures. 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 You know what Jesus said to Nathanael? He said, small word of knowledge I gave you, and you are here tripping. You know, Nathanael and Philip were... So maybe that's what my father named. So Philip found Nathanael and told Nathanael, come and see the Messiah. Then Nathanael came. And the moment Nathanael faced Jesus, Jesus said, a Jew in whom, or an Israelite in whom there is no guile. You know what that means? He said, this is a straight man. Because Nathanael is like that. So he says, this is Nathanael, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael was shocked. He said, how did this guy know me? He said, so Jesus answered. He says, because I said this, you believe I'm the Son of Man. He said, you will see greater things. What were the things he said? He said, you will see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing with angels descending from heaven and on earth like a ladder. Angels descending. He said, you will see the heavens open. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that times will come in my walk here on the earth. It will be clear open heavens. That there will be clear pictures of what the Father wants me to do that I have to do now. That's why he said, what I do is what I see the Father do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So before you do things, develop a culture. Pray about it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. The Bible did not even say he will direct you. He said he will direct your path. That means he will direct your road. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. He didn't say he will direct. He's not just directing you. He said he will direct your path. You know what that means? It's like a train that when you put the train on the rail, the train is not directing. It's the rail that is directing the train. Say, we direct your path. So that when you are walking back at the aircraft, you are going forward. Because he's directing your path. It's called the highway of holiness for a reason. Because even when you fall, it's still a highway of holiness that keeps you pure. Because you are holy already, not by your actions. So you have already entered a highway of holiness. So your mistakes don't make you unholy. Because it's a highway of holiness. It's the road that is taking you. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He will direct your path. Some of you don't know you are walking in purpose. You already are. Because you think, if God is, why is this happening? Why is it? He's directing your path. it is in retrospect you will find out that, oh, all things have been working together for my good. Praise God. What number am I on? Number two. You know I can stay on prayer for. Number three is service. In the place of service, you can find purpose. Service. 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 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 10. Another example is Elisha. You know who Elisha was? Elisha was that guy who was washing the hands of Elijah. This thing is powerful, though. A lot of you want to jump to becoming your own boss, but don't want to serve somebody. And you know, the scripture is clear about these principles, that if you are faithful in another man's business, God will bless you in your own. Service. Service. In the place of service. You know, I was talking to the workers on Sunday. I said, learn to find joy in service. Because if you don't find joy in service, you will find distraction. Or distraction will take you out of service. So you must find joy in service to keep your focus in service. Show me that scripture. 2 Kings. What verse did I call now? 3 verse 10. 2 Kings 3 verse 10. You know the story, just to give you a summary. Yeah? You know I've described to you the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom, which is Judah. So Israel was a whole unit before, and Israel divided. There was conflict. So they now had two kings in the whole of Israel. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. The northern kingdom fell first. It's called the 10 lost tribes, because the 10 never came back together. But the two tribes of the southern Judah, they eventually came back after the exiles. So you have the northern kingdom, which is by a king of whom you're going to see here. Then a southern kingdom by Jehoshaphat you're going to see. So there was this man, one of the kings of Moab, who was paying tributes to Ahab in the Bible. The moment Ahab died, the king said he's not going to pay tribute anymore because Ahab is dead. Let me see what his son can come and do. What was the tribute? Is it 100,000 sheep he will give? Then the fur of the sheep, the sheep's skin, he would also give 100,000 of it as tribute every time. So when he stopped it, the northern kingdom got angry. He said, why did you stop your tribute? He now goes to meet his brother, who is the southern kingdom, to connive and join forces with him so they can fight together Moab. So that's the story. So, the king of Israel, northern kingdom, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Next verse. But Jehoshaphat, who is the southern king, said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So, one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, see his description. Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. You get it. You know what that says? His service was not forgotten. And you can also look at it this way, that his service ushered him into certain privileges and graces. I'll show you that another way you find purpose is by association, but we'll come there. So, this guy found his purpose in the place of service. Who is another example? David. David was serving. David was serving. Father told David, go give bread and cheese and what have you to. And in the place of the assignment, that was where he saw Goliath, in the place of his assignment. So service. Service is key, somebody. So in the place of service, you will stumble into what God wants you to do. Can I be clear with you? If you don't know what God has asked you to do, serve, you will soon know. Is that clear? Just get your hands, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. In the multitude of activity and in the abundance of your conversation with God, you would now find the clarity of the specific one he wants you to do. Pastor, I don't know where to serve. Serve anywhere. You will find the one. I don't know what to do with my life. Do something. You will find the one. Is it clear to you? So, service is key. You must not take service away. Service is very important. I cannot overemphasize the place of service in your understanding of purpose. Do you know who Joshua is? Joshua was the servant of Moses. But eventually it was the servant of Moses who took the people to the promised land. Not even the master himself. Service. Today I was talking to my father. He's somewhere out of the country. He's receiving help. And it was told to me that a great man of God brought food for him just to service him. So I called Prophet Gilbert, and Prophet Gilbert was explaining who that man of God is to me. He said, Pastor Phil, that man of God who daddy told you brought food to him, is not a small boy. You know the way Prophet Gilbert is. It's not a small boy. He said he's a big man of God. He's traveling all over the world preaching. Great ministry. But he says the man has a great ministry, but he loves to cook. So he heard that Bishop was around. He heard that my father was around. He told Prophet Gilbert that I will cook for Bishop till he leaves. So Prophet Gilbert told me, man of God, that the man had a big program yesterday. Cooked for daddy before he went for his program. Service. That your glory doesn't cancel service. Your rising does not dampen your service. You can still be identified with service in the place of your glory. In the place of your largesse, you have arrived. You are still a servant. You know, Jesus exemplified it. The Bible says he took a towel. But before he took a towel, he removed his garment and then he tied a towel. What happened in between? Removing garment and tying the towel. Nakedness. What is nakedness? Vulnerability. Because it was telling them that anyone who wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all. You know, you grow too big and you cannot serve anymore. Or you start to disrespect people. Or you look down on people. And you forget the grace that brought you up. So what tripped me about this verse is that the person who these two kings needed the most, it was clear that his point of service had to be included in his identification. I'm not ashamed of my service. You are great, but you serve. You know, when God starts to bless you in the billion flow, say yes, somebody. When God starts to bless you in the billion flow, and you are an usher, you still remain an usher. You're not too big. If you go to some other ministries, the big boys who bring the bulk of the money, some of them are in sanctuary. They sweep technicals. They sweep the church, clean the toilet. Service. Protocol. When I go to Benin and I'm serving in this capacity as your pastor. When I go to Benin, where I used to serve in a certain capacity as a worship leader, I assume that position with Mama Idahosa and Bishop Wale. And I don't say, no, I'm senior pastor now. You know, level has changed. No. Oh, I am in the house with Bishop Wale. I take a role. I serve them. I was privileged to host all of them for a few days before they went to America. My wife and I, we assumed the position of servants in our house. Because it is service. We understand it. It's service. It's kingdom principle. And it is in the place of service you find purpose. I would extend my conversation on this more. You know, so please. So number what now? Number 4. Number 4 is deep concern. Write it down. Deep concern. Deep concern / desire / promptings or leadings. Deep concern / desire / promptings or leadings. Deep concern. Josh, can we use the Living Bible to read Nehemiah chapter 1? Nehemiah chapter 1. You know, some of you would have deep questions. And those deep questions are a result of deep concerns in your spirit. Nehemiah chapter 1. So, let's read. Have you read Nehemiah chapter 1 before in your life? Okay, if you haven't, let's read it. The autobiography of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, in December of the 20th year of the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, when I was at the palace at Shushan, one of my fellow Jews named Hanani came to visit me with some men who had arrived from Judah. I took the opportunity to inquire about how things were going in Jerusalem. I'm not using the King James Version to be intentional, because King James confuses a lot of us. How are they getting along? This is Nehemiah asking. How are they getting along? I asked the Jews who returned to Jerusalem from their exile here. Well, they replied, things are not good. The wall of Jerusalem is still torn down and the gates are burned. When I heard this, I sat down and cried. Deep concern. Now, you know, Nehemiah had a job, and his job was to be a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer of this Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes is a despotic monarch. He's a great king. He's a conqueror. Okay? So he says, I refused to eat for several days, for I spent the time. You see how you connect this thing? You can't downplay prayer in the discovery of purpose. But that concern led him to prayer. So he says, I spent time in prayer to the God of heaven. Next verse. Oh Lord God, I cried out. Oh great and awesome God who keeps his promises and is so loving and kind to those who love and obey him. Hear my prayer. Listen carefully to what I say. Look down and see my praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my people have committed the horrible sin of not obeying the commandments, because truly that's why God sent them on exile. Yeah. Gave us through your servant Moses. Oh, please remember what you told Moses. You said, if you sin, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my laws, even though you are exiled to the farthest corners of the universe, I will bring you back to Jerusalem. For Jerusalem is the place in which I have chosen to live. We are your servants, the people you rescued by your great power. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Next verse. Now, this is chapter 2. Watch this. One day in April, 4 months later, as I was serving the king his wine, he asked me, why so sad? Thank you. Thank you. You picked it. The way I read it, I read it in a way that you could easily miss it. But let's backtrack. One day in April, 4 months later. What does that say to you? His deep concern was not a flash in the pan. Did you get that? You're convinced about something. After 2 weeks, you've lost passion about it. You know, that's how you know unstable people. What do you want to become? I want to be an aeronautical engineer. Then you now see a doctor. He comes out in his glory. It's now medicine. It's medicine I want to do now. Medicine. I want to be this doctor I want to do. Then you now see a pastor. Kai, now pastor. I've always known it. You know, pastor, there's always this thing in my heart. God has always told me I'm going to be a pastor. From one place to another. But you see, in the passing of time, this man's conviction stayed. It stayed. It stayed. Not here and there. Not here and there. carried away by what this person thinks, what this person is doing, what this person, that's not your life. So one day in April, 4 months later, as I was serving the king his wine, he asked me, what do you take from, he asked me. What do you take from, he asked me. It means that he had built relationship with the king, that the king was able to even ask him a question. Because this kind of people, you don't talk to them if they don't talk to you. In fact, they don't talk or have conversations. They order you. These are monarchs. These are crazy people. But he was having conversation with Nehemiah. And you know the funny thing is that Nehemiah was not a Persian. Nehemiah was a Jew. So how did he get so comfortable with Nehemiah that he's having rapport with Nehemiah? Some of you don't have good relationships with your boss. And you think you can learn everything. You don't have good relationship with your staff members, with your co-workers. Many things that you would know how to do. How do I put this? Okay, let me use medicine. When we're studying in school, we didn't get everything from the lecturer. We got many things from our colleagues. Did you guys do it? Where you had group reading? Yeah. Because there's something your brother is seeing that you're not seeing. Perspective is different. So I was serving the king. You see the seven again there. You see services there again. Service. Serving the king, his wine. He asked me, seven. Why so sad? You aren't sick, are you? You look like a man with deep troubles. For until then, I had always been cheerful when I was with him. I was badly frightened. But I replied, sir, why shouldn't I be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins. And the gates have been burned down. Well, what should be done? The king asked, with a quick prayer. I love this. Before Nehemiah gave an answer to the king when he asked him the question, he made a, not just prayer, quick prayer. Spirit of God, tell me what to do now. That's good enough. Lord, help me. It's good. Lord, direct me. Good. Many of you think prayer is when you sweat and you are whooping inside prayer. If you don't hoop, you are not praying. Lord. Prayer is conversation. With a quick prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it pleases your majesty, and if you look upon me with your royal favor, send me to Judah to rebuild the city of my fathers. The king replied, with the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone? When will you return? So it was agreed, and I set a time for my departure. And then I added this to my request. If it pleases the king, give me letters to the governors west of Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel through their countries on my way to Judah. Deep concern. Nehemiah had deep concern when he had the stories. There are some of you who are bothered about certain things in the nation, in your community, in the world at large, in your sector. Those bother or those deep concerns can be a pointer to your purpose. Why? Because it may not be everybody who is as bothered as you're bothered. Okay? The burning bush, it caught the attention of Moses. Deep concern. There are some other people who would have probably seen the burning bush and passed. The bush is burning and so what? It's not the first time burned the bush. Sorry. It's not the first time bush they burn. That's an indication it's time to close. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Deep concern. I don't know what troubles you, but what troubles you can be an indication to your purpose. What bothers you deeply? There are others. How many have I given you now? Four. So there are four more. We'll continue from where we stop on Sunday. Is that okay? So what's number one? The gospel. Number two, place of prayer. Number three, service. Number four, deep concern. Okay? Deep concern. Then we'll continue from where we stop on Sunday. You know what I want you to do right now? I want you to just open your mouth, bow down your heads and open your mouth, pray. Say, Father, show me, give me the grace to understand your will for my life. Show me the way to go. Help me from where I am. By your spirit, by your power, by your ability. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of you are going to unlock major points, areas in your life where God has connected the greatest assignment He wants you to fulfill. You would unlock it by just being directed by the Holy Spirit. Some of you will find out that it's not as deep as you thought it was going to be. It might be by just one association. But you know what matters to me the most is that you must come into what God has designed for you. Care which way, however way you stumble into it or you find it, because they that seek me must find me with the whole of their heart, but you must find it. You will enter it. You will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God for your life. I know you will step into it. There is, permit me to use the word portal. There is something you will break into like a portal. Something you will, it will break open in your spirit. And once you lay hold of it, you cannot deny the existence and the reality of this thing working in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I hear the Spirit of God saying there's restoration, because for some of you, it's like you had missed some steps, but God is compressing the time. He's taking your steps back and He's redirecting your path. He's giving you a second chance, basically. Second chance, basically. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. TSB, I need you to rise. Last year was rising and shining. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you. It's time for us to rise. Many of you hold the keys and the employment to thousands of Nigerians. Many of you, as I'm looking at you, many of you hold the peace to many homes and families. You just need to rise. Many of you have the answers to the omen of kings. Kings are asking questions. Kings are having bad dreams and God is giving you the answer. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Many of you have the secret puzzle. You know the fix. You know how to fix certain things in the different sector where He has called you. There are certain witty inventions that are supposed to come out in humanity, that is going to come out from your spirit, your brainchild, that God has given you witty inventions. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out witty inventions. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we worship. Amen. Clap your hands and give God the praise.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.